The original coach of the Ottawa Senators, it is Rick Bowness. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good afternoon from Halifax. We're an hour later, so we're in the afternoon. Good morning.
All right, just flipped over. Good stuff. All right, so you're already back out home enjoying. Yeah, absolutely here. So let's not bury the lead here. When you heard that Alfie got the call to the Hall, give us your reaction.
Absolutely thrilled. Listen, it couldn't happen to a better person and obviously a great player, but you like to see those guys. First of all, you come into the league, you're unheralded. And if you go back to our first training camp with Alfie, he was supposed to start the year in the minors that year, not only for playing purposes to get him some experience, but as you recall, we didn't have a whole lot of money back then, and he was on a very low two-way contract. So he was ticketed for the minors. But, you know, we're not the smartest guys in the world, but it took us about two practices to realize this guy's the best player on the ice. And he's one of the hardest working guys. And then you watch him through the preseason, and you watch him every day, and you get to know him, you spend some time talking to him, and you realize, A, he's a great player. You just watch him play. B, he's an incredibly competitive guy, absolutely fearless. And that was an era, I remember, when Swedes were, we weren't too sure how they were going to compete in North American hockey, and there were certainly no issues with Alfie on that. And then again, see, when you talk to him, you say, wow, this is a great guy and a great teammate. So, listen, I'm absolutely thrilled that he got in. Yeah, he deserves it. And not only a great player, but a great person. And that's just as important when you go into something like the Hall of Fame.
And did he not show up for that camp, Rick, and he had forgotten his skates in Sweden? It seems to me like he started camp like in borrowed skates. And I think he said to me at one point, they were like two sizes too big. Like,
Well, I told you we were a low budget team then. Man, we didn't have a lot of extra skates hanging around for these guys. That seems to ring a bell with him. But you know, something like that, you know, that wouldn't turn Alfie back. He just keep pushing forward. He came into camp to make it. He wanted to make a great impression, and there was nothing going to hold him back, and nothing did.
I'm just going to jump in here, Lloyd. So what are those conversations like back then with Alain Vigneault and the late E.J. McGuire, who we miss so much? Just as camp's cranking up, you guys are sitting in the coach's room, and you guys must have been like, who the hell is this Alfredson guy?
Well, we were. But that's, I mean, after a couple of days, we're all looking at each other saying, this guy's starting the season here with us. He's going to make our team. We got to do everything we can to help him make our team because of all the attributes we just talked about. So those conversations, those are great conversations in terms of you're going into training camp and you hope someone is going to step up, an unknown is going to step up and really make an impression on the coaches and make the team. And Alfie was that guy from the first day of training camp. So Alain and EJ and I are looking at each other saying, okay, we got to figure out a way to make sure this guy starts the season with us. Because again, he was the best player in training camp. And we had some guys that had been around the league a little bit and guys that were highly touted prospects. And for Alfie to come in as really an unknown and a long shot, you know, it's quite a tribute to him that, you know, we're talking about him playing with us right off the bat. And sure enough, listen, if you go back to his first season, you know, he was killing penalties. He was on the power play. Yeah. He was our top line right winger. So his minutes were up the first, first opportunity we got to play him. His minutes were up probably 18, 20 minutes a game.
Well, and let's face it, Rick, you were kind of starving for some talent infusion, right? You're all right. I hope I got some. Who's this guy? Yeah, he looks pretty good, and you identified right away. Well, I think he can help us, and we need a guy.
That's the conversations we were having, man. We got to get some skill in here. We this guy has the skill, and just as important, man, he competes, right? He was absolutely fearless. Yeah. First on pucks, he was banging into much bigger guys, absolutely fearless. And again, in that era, you never knew those guys coming over and the adjustment they needed to not only play on the smaller ice surface, but to play in a very physical game. And listen, from day one, Alfie was absolutely fearless. And that's another reason why he got his ticket into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I wanted to just, you know, go to the other part that we all know about Alfie, like the years in this town. He's made it his home. He's become a citizen. He's been an advocate for mental health. He's just, he's entrenched in this community. And you can't fake it for that long. He's a good person. He's a good guy. He's always been a good teammate. How quickly did you and the staff understand that about a kid at that point, that we got ourselves a good hockey player, but I think we got ourselves a great person here as well?
Well, again, those conversations you have during training camp, and listen, my memory's not that good, but I'm sure we had discussions with him about, do you think you're ready, and can you handle the travel, can you handle the games, can you handle the heavy hitting, and I'm sure he's looking at us with, what's the problem here, guys? That's me. That's how I play the game. So, it didn't take long to figure this guy's he's going to eventually, and it's probably a month into it, if that long, that we're saying at some point, this guy's the captain. He's going to take over this team, only because of his work ethic and practice, the consistency at which he played the game, and how competitive he was night in and night out. And in practices, we weren't the most talented team, so we had the stress conditioning, we had the stress hard work, right? And Alfie led the team in all those, just great shape and just a great worker in practice.
How big of a battle was it to keep him on the roster to start the season? I know you hinted there a couple of times, we got to find a way to make sure that this guy's on the roster to start the season. Because as you said, I think he was ticketed for the minors because they didn't want to have to pay him an NHL salary.
If my old memory is right, I think he was making $50,000 in the minors and $250,000 with us in the NHL.
Yeah.
And I would think early in camp, you're not getting arguments, but you're getting discussion from manager. Well, you know, it's early in camp. Let's see how he develops. Yeah, he looks good now, but let's see how he's looking at the end of training camp. But I'm pretty sure by the end of training camp, that discussion had stopped. But, you know, there's always guys that come in those first couple of days, they light it up and they look fantastic. And then as camp goes on, they wear down and everyone else picks up the pace and everyone else picks up the intensity. And all of a sudden you can say, okay, this guy's not quite ready. That certainly was never the case with Alfie. So, again, I'm convinced that the end, Randy and Fergie and everyone involved with that decision could see that, hey, this guy's got to start the season here. We've got to make this work. So it was easy for us at the start. And, again, you get those conversations. Well, maybe, you know, wait till the end of camp. But I'm pretty sure at the end of training camp there wasn't a whole lot of fighting to go on to keep him in Ottawa.
Speaking with Senators' original coach, Rick Bowness, here. So it's been 30 years, since the 92-93 season here. Wow is right, and how time flies. And it was such a, it was a special time to have a team back here. Rick, I was like 17 years old at the time in the stands with my dad on opening night. I know how special it was, thinking back all that time ago, but it has been long enough, and this franchise has a history behind it. Can you speak to just what it means to have a Hall of Famer? Like, this is the current modern-day Ottawa Senators, and there's somebody drafted, developed here, and what it means maybe for a franchise to have their very first player going to the Hall?
Well, this means a lot, isn't it? Because right now, there's a lot of, Pierre has done a great job with that team. There's a lot of great young talent there. And to Turk Batherson, to name a few. I mean, we haven't played yet for so long, but there's a lot of great talent there. And all of a sudden, they're looking at one of their own, and a guy that they all look up to, and they all heard about, they all, read about him, they've heard him around the city, around the team, and all of a sudden, he's in the Hall of Fame. Well, that just takes the reputation. It takes everything up but five, six other levels. So it certainly helps all those young guys that they're never... You're not going to get lost in Ottawa, right? And look how bad we were for a long time. You're not going to get lost. You play hard. You play the game the right way. You do it consistency. You take a lot of pride in your performance. You take a lot of pride in your consistency. You take a lot of pride in being a good teammate, and there's going to be good results down the road. So I think it's huge for the organization. I'm thrilled for Alfie. I'm thrilled for the organization. And, again, those young guys are going to feed off of that, and I think it's going to give them a big boost going into the season.
What's next for you?
Well, as of right now, man, I'm done. I've had a couple of teams phone and check what I want to do.
Yep.
There's been nothing of interest that would bring me back. So at this point, I'd say I'm 95% retired. If something comes along that really piques my interest, and obviously I'm going to listen because I am running out of time, and I get that. But at this point, I'm quite content to sit back and retire. And we'll see what else is out there. Maybe try some different things, consulting or whatever.
Yeah.
But again, if something comes along, and man, that sounds really good to me, then I'm wide open. But it hasn't happened yet, and we're just taking it day by day and enjoying being back home here in Halifax.
Would you be? You mentioned consulting, so. I mean, you've experienced everything there is to experience in the game. Would you be interested in doing something like along the lines of not being behind the bench, but maybe for a younger coach, be in a mentorship role, not behind the bench? You've done that a couple of times, or have you really narrowed it down to a really specific role that would interest you enough to leave? I'm sure your palatial estate in the Halifax area to leave and get involved again.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that. Yeah, I would do that. But, you know, Judy and I were talking about that the other night, but the way I am, you know, all of a sudden the competitive juices kick
yep.
in.
Yeah.
Sitting up in the press box. Okay, I got to get behind the bench again. But we're not there yet. And so, you know, I've done a lot of that stuff, you know, mentoring and helping younger coaches, but that has always been behind the bench and in between periods and everything else that you need to have your presence felt. But I'm wide open to anything. And if that's to try that and see how it works, I know Daryl Sutter did it for a while in Anaheim. I'd give that a whirl.
Okay.
Again, I'm open to anything. But again, at this point, it's 95% sure I'm done. And which is fine. It's been a long run, right? So, and we have a grandson now, and that changes how you look at life a little bit. I like to spend a little more time with him.
For sure.
We'll see, Chris. Again, I'm open to anything, but at this point, I'm quite content. If it's the end, it's the end.
How are the kids doing with their? How are the kids doing with their hockey careers?
Well, let's see. Kristen is in Nashville working with the Predators.
Yep.
She's their director of fan development and their minor hockey. She's loving it there. Ryan, as you know, is now director of pro scouting for the Pittsburgh Penguins, so he's moving up in that world. My son, Ricky, got fed up with dealing with hockey players on the media side. He said, Dad, I've had enough of these guys. So anyway, he's now working for an educational company in Denver, but his wife, Jody, is the vice president of ticket and suite sales for the Colorado Avalanche.
So
they're pretty excited what's going on there. Yeah.
Yep.
So Ryan had a cup party here in 2017 with when Pittsburgh won it. Now we have Jody and Ricky will have a cup party in Denver if she gets it. But yeah, so
fantastic.
We've got everyone's involved with the NHL somewhere along the line. But now it's the old man that's out looking.
Jeez. I have a sneaking suspicion that something's going to shake loose. Anyway, we'll see.
Well, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm content.
And that's the most important thing, Rick, as we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I keep telling Judy, if we leave, Judy's going to miss it more than me.
good stuff. Well, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for your time. Afternoon for you. Enjoy the rest of your day and your summer in the Halifax area, Rick, and I really appreciate you coming on today.
Always a pleasure talking to you guys. CJ, hit it down the middle, pal, like you always do.
I will try, and we are going to get a couple of rounds at Cabot at some point. I think both of us now are at a point where our schedules have loosened up a little bit enough to maybe be able to make that happen.
Sounds good.
All right.
Look forward to it.
Good, me too.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.